Good afternoon. My name is Leslie Freehill. I'm a senior in agronomy and environmental studies at Iowa State University, and I've worked for the Iowa State Agronomy Extension Program for almost 2 years in corn production. And today I'd like to share with you an organic corn cultivar performance trial that we carried out in Iowa this summer. To start, I include some statistics on organic production in the U.S. and Iowa. Approximately 690,000 hectares of land in the U.S. is under organic production. 26,000 of those hectares are in Iowa alone. And in Iowa, over 8,000 hectares is in corn, ranking Iowa second in organic corn acreage in the U.S. behind Minnesota. Organic corn producers use no synthetic pesticides or fertilizers. They rely on crop rotations and composted manure to maintain soil fertility. A typical six-year rotation in Iowa would be corn with a winter rye cover, followed by soybeans, then oats underseeded with alfalfa, and then the alfalfa, and then corn and soybeans again. Organic corn is usually planted later to avoid the first flush of weeds and because the seed is untreated. And a three-year transition period is required to become USDA certified organic. A recent survey indicated that cultivar selection is a top concern for organic producers. So the objective of this project was to evaluate and compare the performances of organic corn cultivars that are available to Iowa producers. The project was funded by a Sustainable Agriculture Research and Education Grant, and this was the first year of a two-year trial, so it will be repeated again next year. Organic producers choose cultivars based on a number of reasons. Most importantly is yield, and then a few other factors include rapid germination and early vigor, stress tolerance, grain composition, and competitiveness to weed, insect, and disease pressure. Our trial included 20 commercial organic hybrids, 4 openly pollinated varieties, and 2 non-GMO conventional corn hybrids. It was a randomized complete block with 3 replications at 3 locations throughout Iowa, all of which were surrounded by a non-GMO untreated border and planted to 30,000 plants per acre. The first 2 sites in northeastern and northern Iowa were on conventional ground, so they actually simulated the first year of transition to organic production. And they were both in soybeans in 2006. They were both cultivated several times in season, and commercial fertilizers were applied at these. The third location was in southwestern Iowa. It was the only of the 3 sites that was an actual organic system. It's been in organic since 1994. And here, composted manure was applied. We collected quite a few types of data on these cultivars in order to have a wide variety of information on all of them for producers. But in the interest of time, I'll only be able to discuss a few today. So I chose the top 4, which are in red, yield, the emergence rate index, which I'll describe in a little more detail in a bit, early and late season plant heights, and percent root and stalk lodging. I'd like to move into a discussion of my results right now. This is a chart of average yield of all 26 cultivars at the northern and northeastern locations. And the reason that 2 locations are included here is because the 3rd location I don't have yield data yet for, so I'll just be able to discuss the northern and northeastern locations right now. And as you can see, numbers 1 through 20 are the commercial organic hybrids, and then numbers 21 and 22 are the conventional hybrids, and then 23 through 26 are the open pollinated varieties. Just as a point of reference, the line at 10,000 kilograms per hectare is about 160 bushels per acre. So from this chart, we can see that the commercial organic and non-GMO conventional hybrids performed comparably in yield, while the OPs consistently performed poorly in comparison to these. For simplicity today, I'll be showing data in tables by location for only the top performing cultivars of each of these three types. I'd like to explain my method for designing these tables. At each location, I sorted the 26 hybrids from highest to lowest yield and assigned the groupings on the far right based on statistical significance. Then I assigned four colors to place the cultivars into excellent, good, fair, and poor performance groups. I did this for each data type we collected. Although the divisions are not perfect, my goal is to display the information in a way that will be clear for producers when they're choosing which hybrid to plant. So these color-coded tables will be able to categorize the information for them. This first table is from the Northern Farm, and I've included the top five yielding commercial organic hybrids, and then the top yielding conventional hybrid, and the top yielding open pollinated variety. They're arranged from highest to lowest yield, and along with their yield rank. So for instance, the top performing organic cultivar was number one, while the conventional, which was number two, number 22, was ranked 13th. I included the conventional and an OP for each location as a point of reference. And in this case, the top five organic cultivars did rank higher than the top conventional or OP variety. I'd like to note that the high yield did not necessarily correlate to a high emergence rate index, and I'll comment on how we took this emergence rate index. The ERI was calculated by taking the percent of plants emerged on a certain day minus the percent emerged the day before and then divided by the number of days after planting. And this was taken each day from the first day that a plant emerged through the last day that a plant emerged. So for instance, at this northern location, a cultivar that emerged rapidly and uniformly might have a value of 21.8. whereas a cultivar that emerged slowly and non-uniformly might have a value of 18.6. And this number is an index, so it's only relative within each location. This is an example of the northeastern farm. The row to the right is a different hybrid than the row towards the center here, so they were two side-by-side plots. The far right one emerged rapidly and uniformly, while the one on the left was pretty uneven and a bit slower. And this is again the table from the northern farm. I've returned to it. The average yield at this location was about 10,300 kilograms per hectare. And we can see that hybrids number 19 and 8 stand out as performing pretty consistently well across the board. This next table is the northeastern farm. And again, they're arranged from highest to lowest yield. The average yield at this farm was slightly less than the northern farm. The early plant heights are not included in this table because they weren't significant at this location. So again, we see that the hybrids 19, 7, and 5 performed fairly consistently well across the board. And lastly, this is the third location in southwestern Iowa. The yield data was not available for this location yet, and so I selected the top cultivars according to the emergence rate index. And so the table is arranged from highest to lowest ERI. And so we can see that of these, hybrids 20 and 8 stand out as performing consistently well, but we can't necessarily say yet that these are the top performing because the yield data isn't available yet. So in conclusion, across the two locations where the yield data was available, only one hybrid consistently placed in those top five cultivars, and that was hybrid number 19. The open pollinated varieties consistently yielded less than both the organic and conventional hybrids, but among the OPs, number 26 was the highest yielding at both locations. Again, the yield data from the third location is not yet included, so I can't draw any conclusions across all three locations at this point. And lastly, carryover from last year's conventional treatments at the northern and northeastern locations most likely affected this year's weed and insect pressure because they were not significant at there weren't significant differences at these locations, but that was most likely carryover. And I would especially like to thank our corn crew with the extension this year, especially Dr. Roger Elmore and Lori Abendroth, who helped me a great deal with this project. So I'd like to open the floor to questions. Yes, sir. It must be raised organically, and it can be, it's different from the open pollinated as where it is bred, but so that's why I kind of used the difference between hybrid and variety. But as far as an organic hybrid, it must be raised organically for organic producers. It can't be a GMO, it can't be treated in any way. The genetics could be the same. Yes, ma'am. No, there were three locations. The location in southwestern Iowa has been organic since 1994. The ISU research farms in northern and northeastern Iowa are not organic. So the best that we could do was say that they're a simulation of the first year transition to organic. But we wanted to have a variety of sites to compare rather than only perform this at the organic farm. So that's why we chose to include three sites, but they were not all organic. This is just 1 year, so we will repeat it again next year, and then hopefully in the future this research could continue. Yes. Yes, sir. I think a great deal of influence, especially the two conventional sites where I did have yield data. We tried to take different weed ratings and insect ratings, and there wasn't any difference among the hybrids, and it was relatively low, but I would guess the producer that has been organic for a while would have more problems with that. So we're hoping that this research will be repeated again next year, but then in the future to kind of get rid of the carryover that I'm sure that we had this year. Yes, sir. I'm sort of following you.
Why would you go again hybrids? Respond differently than conventional hybrids in the system? Because they're organic. They seem to produce what they're doing.
I'm sure it would be a combination of both. Just like in a conventional hybrid test, what's to say that one conventional hybrid is better than another? So it would be a combination of how it's treated that year and how it was raised. Does that? Okay. Yes, sir. I wondered that too. when it was written into the grant for sustainable agriculture research and education. I think that it's a philosophy some farmers have, maybe an ecological philosophy, perhaps. They always do, usually, they're well known to perform more poorly in comparison, but with the extension, if there are people asking us to research this, then we do. If there are producers that are interested in raising open pollinated varieties, then it's nice to provide them with information of which of those do perform the best, but it's just a much different philosophy. Thank you very much.